Oh, yeah. You know what that sound means, right? Right. You know what that sound means. No, you know what that sound means? It means it's a bad show. Now, I just want to tell you, if you're hearing this, this happened already. We recorded this one a little early, but it's a brand new best show. And you're like, but how are there going to be calls? And at first I'd be like, well, I guess I'm talking to Andrew Dice Clay's wife here for a second. How are you going to take the calls? Or one of the jerky boys, right? Was that when the Jerky Boys talked like that? Oh, remember them? Remember that movie where the mob was chasing them because they made prank phone calls? Boy, that was a challenge. Imagine being up for that assignment. We want to make a Jerky Boys movie. What could be a story? Neither of them can act. Just want to tell you, one of them can't act. One of them really can't act. Like, really can't act. Like, he's going to seem like he's mad that he's in this movie. He's going to actually, and he might be mad that he's in this movie, but it's definitely going to feel like he's mad. He's going to act like you inconvenienced him to be in this movie. I got a pitch. What if they prank the mafia and then they fight the mafia with pranks? I'm listening. And then, do you remember who the mob boss was? Let's see if anybody, Pat or Jason Hollywoodio Gore know who the mob boss was.
It was a young John Cafferty.
It was not a young John Cafferty.
Wouldn't it
be? You mean from the Beaver Brown band?
No, the guy from Bar Rescue.
Oh, John Taffer. I thought you said John Caffer. Oh, so it's coming down.
I thought his name was Cafferty.
No, it's Taffer.
He's gonna know just how I feel. Wouldn't that just be rough to be a guy where you're like, yeah, I'm John Cafferty. Well, I'm a musician. Oh, cool. What do you sound like? Literally, I sound like Bruce Springsteen. Literally, I'm more or less a sound alike.
I used that song last night as a goof because it was Bruce's birthday.
You used On the Dark Side?
Yeah, I used a picture of Billy Joel, which nobody has heard this yet, but we did a So Far the other night, and I brought up my friend Marty, who made memes about, very specific memes about God. Greendale.
Yeah.
And
the Neil Young album, Greendale. The divisive concept album.
He posted another one last night. He said, nobody park in Carmichael's spot.
I love it.
With a map of Greendale and an arrow.
Oh, anyway. My God.
But then last night, he made me laugh again. He posted an old picture of Billy Joel in a baseball hat in the 70s. And he said, happy birthday, boss. And so I shared
Great.
I shared it to my own story. And because you can add music, I put On the Dark Side.
Mm-hmm.
He was on top of mind, that John Cafferty.
I love it. You're you and Marty really
we're bonding,
covering all the bases now.
Through the best show.
Yeah. Well, Marty, if you're out there, we appreciate all you're doing. Thank you for your service. We will hopefully have you on an episode of So Far, which there should be one. If you're hearing this, a new episode of So Far went up a couple days ago over on the Patreon. patreon.com/thebestshow. That's how you support the best show. Also over at the Patreon, that's how we support the best show over there. You go there and you give a little bit of money and you can hear the bonus shows we're doing, like the So Far. We got other things where I'm sending the signed book plates to Patreon people only who bought the book and didn't get a book plate, whether you're in outside the US, which they were not shipping them to people outside the US. I am shipping them to people outside the US. So where I'm sending out a bunch every day. I'm staying on top of this, getting them out to the people. So thank you for the support with that. And if you want to get in on the action, man, go to that Patreon, patreon.com/thebestshow. More new content going up.
Yeah.
Keep it going. So, Woodio, do you have any idea who played the mob boss in the Jerky Boys movie?
Ah, Were they ever on the Sopranos?
No, they were not.
Okay, Bob Hoskins.
No, not Bob Hoskins. We think it's Long Good Friday. I think they're over there pranking. Country code. What's the country code? 011. It's me, Saul Goodman. What's his name? Saul Goodman? No, that's a Better Call Saul. Saul Rosenberg, which was, I believe, hate speech. I believe that the one non-Semitic jerky boy was displaying hate speech.
I'm trying to picture the jerky boys existing in the Breaking Bad verse and picturing them pranking Salamanca or somebody.
Yeah. Who should we prank? Yeah, I'm pranking this dumb teacher. I'm pranking this teacher. I found this loser of a teacher. He turned 50. What a loser. I've been pranking him. Suddenly, like, hello. Are you Saul Rosenberg? Speaking. My name is Heisenberg. I'm the Egyptian magician. Another very sensitive portrayal. Culturally deft portrayal of an Egyptian magician. Jerky boys, those clowns.
So I did look it up and see who it is, but his right-hand man was on The Sopranos.
Yeah, but he was not the mob boss.
But I was close.
Well, but you were probably not, because The Sopranos hired everybody that played a goon in the last 30 years was on The Sopranos at some point. They were running through goons like they were running through goons like water on that show, where they're just like, yeah, we need more goons. Who can we get to be a goon? What about the goon who was the right-hand man on the Jerky Boys movie? Fine, let's get him. No, it was Alan Arkin played the goon from, you know, that very threatening mob boss vibe that Alan Arkin gives off.
Yeah, he did the exact same character in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was the in-laws, Little Miss Sunshine, Jerky Boys. I hope, and I don't even mean this to be snarky or snide, Alan Arkin did it for the money. I hope he bought something nice for himself. He deserved it. He's had an amazing career. He's brought us so much amazing comedy. I hope he picked out something nice for himself. Like Michael Caine said when people asked him about Jaws 3, they said, did you ever see Jaws 3? He said, I did not see Jaws 3. I have seen the house that it bought, and it is amazing. That's the greatest line imaginable. And I also want to say, I'll cane it up. Anybody, if you think, just because I wrote a national bestseller, It Never Ends, in stores now, just signed more copies over at Skylight Books in Los Angeles. So if you want a signed copy, go to Skylight Books. They got some fresh signed copies. I think the only bookstore that sells signed copies.
They may not have them by the time this goes up. They could just be hot items.
Well, I would hope. But you might think, because I'm a national best-selling author, that I'd be like, well, it's like, oh, he won't. He has standards. I don't at all. I'm ready, willing, and able to lower myself for money. If you want what I do to fit whatever awful thing you're doing, and you're wondering whether I would be up for it, I'm up for it. Just know there's a yes waiting for you if there's also some do re mi in the equation.
But where would your line draw? Like what, like if Logan Paul came knocking, would you
Well, what would he want me to do? Let's see this through.
Price was right. If the price was right, we might have to switch topics. I don't know, but
if Logan Paul came knocking saying he wanted me to do what?
All right. He's making his own bootleg Jackass. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's only going to stream, or it's only going to go up on his YouTube or something horrible.
Okay. And he wants me to do what? Stunts?
You're the only one that gets hurt.
You're the only one who gets hurt. And he wants you to, I don't know, be the basically like the Steve-O of this project. Of this
he album. Wants me to be the Steve-O of it. Well, this is, look, there's also a quality of life aspect to this thing.
Right, but
I'm not looking to be incapacitated.
What would your agent counter for this? What would you counter if you said, I'll be Steve-O, but I'm not doing blank?
I'm not eating stuff, or I'm not going to, nothing that's going to be like toilet related.
Yeah.
You want to throw a baseball at me? Yeah. I'll talk about it. I'll talk about you whipping a baseball at me.
Yeah.
You want me to get to think I'm riding a bicycle and then I get knocked off of it? Yeah. We can talk about it. Not going to do no toilet stuff. I'm not going to breathe no toilet fumes in a mask or going to make me barf. And also no like creepy. I'm not going to stick my head through a little terrarium and suddenly there's a scorpion on my face. I wouldn't do that. But in terms of old fashioned getting hurt, I'd consider some of it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, one of the sad things I will say as an aside is that the Jackass movie has been delayed.
That's right.
It will not be coming out in 2021. Truly, sincerely bums me out. I was looking forward to it so much.
Someone gets flown out of a cannon, right?
Johnny Knoxville does.
What if Logan wants to shoot you out of a cannon, but it's a cannon he built himself? No blueprints. He just figured it out.
No, that's that is horrifying. So what would happen if Logan Paul is just like, I built this cannon, dude. It's going to be sick.
Yeah.
You're going to come flying out of it. I'll be like, okay. And you know it works? He's like, I don't.
It's not even over water. It's in a Home Depot parking lot.
But there's got to at least, well, I mean, there has to be some place for me to land safely if it worked.
There is an air cushion that he also built.
Oh, no. That's a hard one. I at least want some experts to work on these things. I'm not looking to be in like a snuff movie here where it's just my death. I'm not looking to actively croak. I'm looking to do a thing that I could get through. And but Logan Paul's Jackass. I don't know, guys. Yeah, I'll do it.
You're in. Okay.
I'm in. Logan, I'm in. Hey, it's Logan Paul. This is Jerkface. Like it just goes changes a little bit. This is Logan Paul and you're watching Jerk Face.
What about Tommy Wiseau? His next movie that's not even a script, it's roughly an outline. He wants you to star in it, be the starring role, but also direct it. It's on a faraway island for 2 months. You will be paid very well, but you will be directing, starring in it, and they are 18-hour days every day.
Yeah, I'll do it.
You'll do it.
As long as the crew is okay. As long as is the crew in unsafe conditions or only me?
Most likely they are, yeah.
They are in unsafe conditions or safe conditions?
They are in safe conditions, but there are, you know, you know stuff might go down. You're not sure.
Well, you know. I would say I would not be comfortable with others being put at risk. sure. of things. I'll put myself at risk for that. I'll direct a Tommy Wiseau movie.
Or you'd have to know that, you know, part of your, that you could take part of your money and throw it towards the crew so that you knew they were safe, but then you would be taking a cut, making a
Well, loan. See, then now this, you is, have like, to make this is taking me off this. This is taking me off this. I'm doing it for the money.
Well, thing. You're still making a chunk.
Yeah, it's a lot of dough.
But it's not as much.
How much is a lot of dough?
Tommy Wiseau is personally paying you $3.5 million.
Oh, yeah, of course I'll do it. Yeah, yes.
But you co-star with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, yep.
And,
I'm there.
And you're sharing a cabin. And it's not much of a cabin.
Right.
Yep,
it's
I'll
like
do it.
It's like a Fiji, like it's like a Gilligan's Island cabin.
I'm in.
But the cost
$3.5 million.
But the cost to make the crew safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$3
million.
No. Well, no, I'm not doing
it. You've got to give him $1 million. So like, no, I'm gonna revise it. You $3 million is what's on the table from Tommy, right? But Joe Rogan's making the same. Only your money would go towards the crew to make them safe.
And how much makes them safe?
$3 million.
You would walk home with $1.5 million.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm in. 100%. Let's go. When do we shoot?
Do you think you would develop a relationship with Rogan by the end of that?
I don't care. I would develop a relationship with that money.
Yeah, this is exactly what Alan Arkin said about Jerky Boys.
I can feel suddenly I've never understood Alan Arkin more than I have right now.
All right. It's a Logan Paul joint.
Okay.
His Jackass was a huge success.
Yeah.
His next project is all he also wants you. He attributes you being.
Please say it's Jackass. A period piece. Please say it's a period.
Okay, I'll make piece. It a period piece, but there's a big catch.
Yeah, it's called Founding Fathers.
Okay.
And it's a script that he has written about the 1789 Constitutional Congress.
He wants you back because he attributes Jackass' success to you being in it.
Right.
Jerk face,
a Logan Paul joint.
Okay. And,
but part of this script is shot reality TV style.
Yeah.
And is
like everyone's favorite period pieces. Shot reality TV style.
Well, it melds and it bends around time. So
right.
80% of it's a period piece, but then it flashes forward to
the lot of confessionals.
A lot of confessionals, but there's an element of the live reality TV shot footage that involves you, Tom Sharpling, digging up the graves of famous people.
So I'm literally going to be a grave digger.
Yes.
Am I robbing the graves or just digging?
No, you're not robbing. To the letter of the law, as long as like the families and the cemetery were paid off in advance.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm good. I'm in.
So you're gonna dig up celebrity
graves. If the families have signed off on this. And I'm not going to get arrested. Yeah, 100%. Let's start. Where's my shovel?
Okay. What if he found a loophole and he found one foreign country? Maybe it's in Europe. Maybe it's in, Emirates unknown, where you are digging up foreign bodies buried that under that foreign soil or territory, it is legal to do and open up the coffin, etc. But you can't stop once they're rolling. You have to go through with it. You're not going to get arrested because it's technically legal. Production's mm-hmm. going to put the bodies back, and they're going to basically like put it back the way it was. But for the
footage, we're talking about people from when, from what era?
I mean, any celebrity from the last decade. Or sorry, century.
Oh, these are like from last century. Oh my God. I would want to think of the last decade. What am I going to?
Alan Arkin? No.
Dig up Carl Reiner?
Could be. God.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. I'll dig up some old timer. I'll dig up Thomas Jefferson.
Still with
$2.5 million to dig up Carl Reiner.
Yeah, I would not do. I would not be comfortable with that.
No, I wouldn't.
Long live Alan Arkin. I misspoke. He's still alive.
Alan Arkin's still alive. With us.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Long live.
Yes, long live Alan Arkin.
Well, this took a turn. I'm sweating.
Thomas Jefferson? Yeah, I'll do it.
You dig up
Carl Reiner? No.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe? Yeah, in a second.
All right.
Where's my shovel? No, I don't want to get. I'll dig up these dirty old racists. They're dirty old racists. I'll dig them up.
And that's the name of the movie.
Dirty old racists.
Logan Paul's Dirty Old Racists.
But part of the catch is the subtitle would have to read starring and conceived by Tom Sharpling. And then there's a little asterisk and very tiny where no one can read it. It says, actually, this was created by Logan Paul.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah.
But it's very misleading. It's very
It sounds extremely misleading. As long as I'm not digging up any bodies that are fresh.
I can't believe the show has gone this way.
This is gruesome.
Yeah, this is a real turn.
This is a gross show.
I was talking about 1789 Constitutional Congress, and you're like, what if you dug up some bodies?
Yeah, I went dark quick. I don't know.
No, I'll dig it. I'll do it. Yeah. It's time. It's money time. Yeah. Give me that money.
Well, you want to play the theme, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, the theme should probably be money, 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 money.
No, I meant for money, the show.
Which was a theme to what great reality show?
Oh, I don't want to even say it. Was it The Apprentice?
That was The Apprentice, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump.
Rather.
So gross.
The great man himself.
Do you think he would do the show if NBC offered it to him again?
I think he would do the best show if it was offered to him. This guy would do anything.
Now it's an even better show. That's what he'd say.
I was on the best show. It was great. Tom Sharpling probably, he always says like probably, like, yeah. Probably one of the greatest broadcasters. And you're just like, probably? Why? Don't say it then. What a clown. I'm sorry. I know you guys love them. I don't. Let's start the best show here. And today we're doing, what's your beef? We're going to keep it simple. What's your beef? It's best show.
Best show, yeah, you know that it's the best show, and it'll always
Show, what's up? We are back. It's heard from John Cale Macbeth from the Paris 1919 album. Guy got the stomp there. He got the old glam stomp going there, huh? How is that possible that John Cale was able to cover as much range as he did with all his experimental stuff, and then he was in the Velvet Underground, and suddenly he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sound like the Bee Gees from the 60s. Imagine that. It's just like, it's such a, I'm going to say it. John Cale's pretty good. No, I love John Cale. Can't wait to see this Velvet Underground documentary coming out next month. Not sure why I'm not on the any sort of fancy list to see it early. Anybody got a lead on it? Please let me know. I want to see it sooner than later. I would talk to anyone involved with it, do a Todd Haynes conversation, whatever. I'll talk. I'm excited about it. Can't wait. So let's do it. You got a line on it? Help me out. So, yes, today we are doing a best show that is pre-recorded a few days early. If you're listening to this on a Tuesday night, it is not live, so don't call in. Or you can call in, you just know we're going to pick up because we did it already. But that said, everybody else, you just sit back, you relax, maybe you get out that... What are you going to get out? What are you going to get out of a little bit of that, stinky inky? I like when I say that, and then weed people get like very, irked that I say that, but that's funny. Go over to MedMen and get your gummies. MedMen. Yeah, great. Oh, hey, what if there was a dispensary that was as much of a bummer as going to the Apple store? Yeah. Well, oh, okay. Sure. Whatever. Be better, MedMen. Now let's get back to it. We're going to talk about what's your beef, and we'll see. We all put a call out on the old, social media saying to call in. And Pat, do we have any calls?
We got three calls.
Three. Well, let's do it to it. If you give me one of them, please.
You're on with Tom.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Oscar from West Dundee, Illinois.
Well, Oscar, first let me thank you for calling the show on a non-Tuesday. We're doing a show. We're pre-recording this week's show, so we want to do it. We want to do it right. Like Wham, remember when Wham told us, if you got to do it right, do it with me. Remember when they said that?
I don't know that much Wham, I'm sorry. I just know,
you don't know.
Where you go.
How many members of Wham can you name?
Michael, George Michael, and I forget the other guy's name.
Andrew Ridgely.
He's best friends with him, right?
I was tight with him for a while. Then he got really irked at me, and we had a little bit of a falling out.
Ooh, but I'm sorry to hear that.
It wasn't cool. I insulted him. Because he said he was going to do a concert, right? He said, I'm planning a big concert. And I said, oh, really? What phone booth are you going to hold it in? He didn't think that was funny. You laughed.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Thank you. If you're going to do it right, right. Do it with me, right? Baby, I'm your man.
Are you more of a Frankie Goes to Hollywood fan or a Wham?
Oh, I'm much more of a Frankie Goes to Hollywood fan. I saw them in concert back in the day. Anybody asked me in an elevator, did you ever see Frankie Goes to Hollywood back in the day? I'm going to immediately hit the stop button in the elevator, make it seem like we're stuck on it, because I got a story to tell.
Ooh.
I ain't going to run off the elevator like Patti Smith did running from me. As recounted in my national bestseller, It Never Ends. Did you read my book?
Yeah, I finished it like 4 weeks ago, and I started crying at the last sentence. Like, all my friends, one of my friends, and then the show's talking about how everybody's crying about the book. And I'm like, okay, where am I going to cry? Where am I going to cry? Yeah. And then the last sentence, when I finished it, I started crying. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Like, you got me. You got me, Tom.
I knew I was going to get you. I knew I was going to get you. You know what I did is I chopped up onions on every copy of the last page.
Well, this one was really fresh then.
Well, that's how I got you. I did it every copy. I sat there with an onion and chopped it up. And I'm like, I got to make them cry one way or another with this thing. I said, one way or another, they're going to cry.
Let me be sincere with you, Tom. New Jersey should be proud of you because that book was fantastic. I even talked to a friend of mine, and I knew you're a great writer since I read that script of yours, which I hope one day I can get to see that as a film.
Was that Grown Ups 3?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath on that one. Don't hold your breath because you're not going to stick around for much longer if you hold your breath till that one gets made. That ain't going to happen.
Think about that script, though.
Oh, I appreciate it. You're very kind. And I appreciate the nice words about the book. Seriously. Thank you so much. So
did it, SOB.
Thank you. That's all I ever want to hear. You SOB, you did it. When I read that, when I watched in Patton, the movie Patton, not about Patton Oswalt, but about George Patton. George C. Scott portraying General George S. Patton. And when he said about Rommel, I read your book, USO, you son of a bitch. I read your book. That's how we knew how to beat him, because he read his book. Makes you wonder, what was Rommel doing writing a book, giving away all the war secrets? Man, Hitler must have been steamed when he found that out, right? Absolutely steamed.
He killed himself for that situation.
Well, look, I don't know if that's what did Hitler in, if the Rommel thing did him in as much as the troops closing in on Hitler part of it did it. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go out on a limb right here. And I want to just say right now, here's a warning. You get the family out of the room. If you want some, no, you know what? You bring the family in because they need to hear this. F Hitler. And if a little kid is hearing that and you're going right now, you're like, how could you say that? My child heard it. You know what? Your kid needs to know it. F Hitler.
You're right.
Dirty Nazis. He's dumb, dirty Nazis.
Sorry, go ahead.
Can you imagine who'd be dumb enough to walk around strutting around like, oh, I want to be like a Nazi? What kind of loser are you?
No, there's a lot of losers like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even say that Don't Tread on Me is quasi-Nazi.
Don't tread on me.
I don't want to get political on your show because I know you don't want to do that, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You know the only place that when you say don't tread on me, you know where these, they want to... That all these people, you know where they want to tread? Cracker Barrel. That's the only place. That's the only place they want to tread. Walking through Cracker Barrel, touching the Reba McEntire Christmas CDs they have there by the cash register, and the weird golf tee game at the table. You go to a Cracker Barrel. You try to order some vegetables. It's got ham in it. Yeah, can I get the Brussels sprouts? And it comes to the table, ham in it. Oh, didn't say anything about ham being in these on the menu. Oh, that's how we do them here. Are you people that weak that you can't have a vegetable without some ham thrown in on it? Equal parts sick and sad. Where were you calling from again?
West Dundee, close to Elgin, Illinois.
Yeah, so you don't know about Cracker Barrel. 5 minutes
away from Chicago.
I don't know. I'm talking to anybody about health stuff. You look at the food in Chicago. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, yeah. You're right about that.
Be better, Chicago.
Yeah, seriously. I was going to ask, does California have Cracker Barrel? I've never been to California. No.
Yeah, I ain't seen none out here. Maybe they are out here. I don't know. I ain't seen none, though. Get that old rocking chair. You go. It's a good place to go if you want to buy a rocking chair. They have rocking chairs on the porch for sale. You going to come in and eat at all? No, I'm just going to test some rocking chairs out, Pops. Sounds good. Let me know if you need any help.
There are three in California, Tom.
We got some Alan Jackson CDs inside. You want to get? There's three.
There's one in Victorville, one in Camarillo, and one in Rialto. Fairly close.
Victorville, that's where Greg Turkington has his film archive out of. In the On Cinemaverse. So, look, you're from Illinois. Tonight, the topic is very simple. What's your beef?
I got two beefs.
Okay, let's hear them.
One of them is you're going to a concert, seeing a band that you really like, and then you see a stranger wearing that band t-shirt that you're seeing. Why are you wearing that? We know that you're going to see that band.
Yeah. This is a very divisive one. This is a very divisive, because I know some people be, what do you care what they're wearing? But then other people are like, yeah, it's just corny is all it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like it's some, you're not committing some mortal sin by it. Like, people are like, what do you care so much? It's like, I don't care that much. I really don't. But it's just like, it's just corny. You look like a cornball wearing, you go see, like you go to a Wilco show and suddenly you show up wearing your Wilco. Like, I'm wearing an early one that all these other people don't have. I'm going to make them all so jealous. And then people see it just like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's like they make it feel like it's a sports show. Like, you know, you're rooting for a team instead of a band. Yeah.
Well, look, I think it's corny when you see adults wearing all the jerseys at sporting events. I get it. If you're into it, go for it. If you're having fun with it, but I just know I could not pull that off. I cannot pull that off. I mentally, that's my weakness. I don't have it in me to walk around, go to a game. I'm supposed to go to a Knicks game wearing a Julius Randle jersey. It's like, Julie, I'm so much older than Julius Randle, and now I got to act like I like, I love you. Like, is that what I'm trying to say? I love you so much. Like, no, I'm at the game. That's enough of me showing. I'm at the game. I'm clapping. I'm cheering. I'm out there trying to get a t-shirt when you launch it out of the t-shirt cannon. I'm engaged at the thing. I'm gung ho. Let's go nuts. But I just don't
wear the same colors as the team.
No, I would not wear the colors of the team either. I don't have that gene to do that. It just doesn't work for me. Works for other people. It's fun. It creates a good atmosphere at the game. Great. Totally into it. I can't pull it off. It's like me wearing a hat. I can't wear hats.
Yeah, I'm not a hat person either.
Now, you get some of these people, they wear a nice ball cap, and then they're walking around. You see a Tim Heidecker walking around with a ball cap on. Guy pulls it off. He could pull off a ball cap. I can't.
Who do you think in the Best Show crew can pull off a hat?
I wonder if any of the Best Show crew can pull off a hat. This might be, let me think. I'm picturing
one right now.
You're wearing a hat right now.
Yeah.
What is it? What hat?
It's a baseball cap. It's a Gem Spa baseball cap, the famous East Village egg cream newsstand where the New York Dolls and a bunch of other people have stood in front of taking
pictures. Which is gone now, right?
Gone. And Mindy and I went and bought merch before they closed to try. They were trying to raise money to stay open before the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought a shirt. I bought a hat. I wore this hat throughout most of the pandemic. It was okay. My go-to hat. And, you know, you've seen me in a hat before. I used to wear my Late Night with Conan hat.
You're right. You're right. I can see you wearing it. Now I picture it. Yeah. You know what this means?
What's that?
I think you got a new nickname.
Ball cap?
No, Pat the Hat.
Pat the Hat. All right.
Hat Burn.
Hat Burn. What do you like better, Pat? Pat the Hat or Hat Burn?
The first one.
Pat the Hat. Okay.
What about Pat in the Hat? Like the
Dr. I like that. Pat in the Hat. That's pretty good. We're going to say audience's choice. You want to call Pat the Hat or Pat in the Hat? Go for it. Hat Burn, he does not seem as comfortable with. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I've never sat super well with my last name in general.
Satburn.
Hmm?
You said you didn't sit well with it. So now you just got Satburn.
I get it.
Which is actually literally a sat burn. Studio just gave you a burn about you sitting.
I think it's a sad burn.
Sad. It would be a sad burn. That sat burn was a sad burn also.
Wait, why did it get the laugh? That I just said that. Why did it get the laugh when Tom said it?
I just said it. Tom said it. That's why.
I said it like 5 seconds.
Oh, no, but it's.
He was blunt. Hey, look.
Tom delivered it and then it got a laugh.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I got to say, at least he was honest about it. It's like, yeah, Tom said it. I don't endorse that, Pat. But at least Jason was crystal clear with his motives.
I'm not lying.
I want to go through this process. Okay. I want to make sure I understand what just happened. So he said, I said I've never felt so super comfortable with my last name.
Uh-huh.
I've never sat with it so well. And then
then I said sat burn.
He used wordplay to say sat burn, and mm-hmm. then you asked me if I liked that, mm-hmm. and I said no. That was a sad burn, and mm-hmm. then
crickets.
And then you repeated that, mm-hmm. and it got the laugh.
Yeah, right? It might mean he straight up isn't listening when you talk.
that's
also, there's a little bit of that as well. Yeah,
he might when he hears your voice start, uh-huh. it might be like. Peanuts.
He's checking his phone. Wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah. I just take off my headphones.
Yeah. How do you know when I started talking then again?
There's a certain tone. I'm like, oh, Tom's back. And I put him back on.
Okay. Well, I got it.
He has a premium version of Zoom that
I do.
That actually mutes me speaking.
Sure. Well, look. So before we move on to this caller's second beef, where are you both at with the... concert, wearing a concert t-shirt to the concert of the artist who you're seeing?
I used to do it all the time in high school. I don't think I could pull it now.
Depends on who you're seeing.
Dire Straits. I'm going to see Dire Straits.
I'm totally wearing
a
Knopfler shirt.
If it's like a stadium show, mm-hmm. And they're back for some reason playing stadiums, but you want to honor like the 84 mm-hmm. tour t-shirt.
Sure. Brothers in Arms. I want to honor my Brothers in Arms t-shirt.
Yeah. You can honor that at like Springsteen people wear the shirts from previous tours. I think that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Even like Mike's not on tonight. Mike's on mm-hmm. assignment, but he would agree, like, you know, obviously like Dead shows, people wear the shirts. Mm-hmm. It depends on the size of the concert, I think. And it also depends on the size of the artists, like how big they mm-hmm. are and stuff. So, I mean, it's a faux pas, I guess, in the like indie and punk world, maybe, or the underground, but
sure. So I'm going to see Ty Siegel, and then I show up and I'm wearing a Ty Siegel shirt to the Ty Siegel
people
show.
People would think that you're a narc right away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They would think, well, this is clearly a cop.
Stark showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you think that's the line is the size of the event.
Yeah. But also if the Velvet Underground somehow got back together today, 2021, and played Giant Stadium, which would never happen ever. But if that happened and it was the size of the band and the artist, I don't think anyone would be wearing Velvet Underground shirts there. I think in that situation, that's like a weird case where people would, mm-hmm. you know.
Is it just Mo on stage?
No, I'm saying if somehow people were alive.
John Cale and Mo Tucker.
John Cale, yeah.
And
John
Doug Cale, Yule.
Yeah. Well, it's just Doug Yule on stage.
It's just Doug Yule and his brother Billy. I'm going to go and say
you would go if it was Mo, John Cale.
Would I go? In a second.
Yeah. I would go too.
But I'd go see the line if they put the 73 lineup back together with Willie Loco Alexander, no Mo Tucker, no Sterling Morrison. It was Doug Yule, Willie Loco Alexander, Billy Yule, and whoever else was in it. Yeah, I'd go. I would. How could I pass that up?
What if it was Mo Tucker, John Cale, John Mayer?
Yeah, I'd have to see it. So he's in the Lou role.
He's the Lou.
But in his contract, he has to play Your Body is a Wonderland.
Velvet Underground style.
With them backing him.
with the Velvets backing him. Yeah, I'd see. I'd go to that in a heartbeat.
Unrehearsed that one song.
I'd go. Yeah.
Just doing their best improv.
I would go check it out. I wouldn't be able to pass that up.
What if they decided to play the whole album, Andy Warhol album that Lou Reed and John Cale did back in 92, 91?
Songs for Drella?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I would see that. That album's amazing. I would see that in a heartbeat. I'd push someone's mother into traffic to see that. Album's amazing.
There's a picture of Doug Yule that kind of looks like you, Tom.
Oh, that's a nice thing to say.
Doug Yule was a good-looking
dude.
You know what I would see?
What's
Doug
that?
Doug Yule, Mo Tucker, John Cale, and the rest of the Velvets are made up of Yola Tango.
Oh, I'd see that in a second.
Heartbeat.
Wouldn't that be a great tour?
What if there was a tour called the Yule Log? And it was Christmas. It was Doug Yule goes out and does Christmas versions of does Velvet Underground Christmas songs.
You'd be there in a second too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my present. Right?
Or my Santa.
Sister Ray would be Santa's sleigh. You know, it's just like Santa's sleigh says, right?
Why don't we do this? Christmas of 2022. Best show. Yeah. Best show. Friends of the best show and best show related people. And we do the Yule Log.
Why are we saying Christmas 22? You don't think we have enough time to do it this year?
I don't know. We have time. I just don't think it's super safe yet to do an indoor.
Oh, you mean a live event? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not super safe.
If it's out, well, for our best show, like studio show, yeah.
Yeah.
We could do that for sure.
You want a concert though?
I was thinking a live show. Yeah.
But. Well, let's see what the Yule. Let's kick this idea around. I think we're on to something. The idea that we call it the Yule Log.
I'm adding this to the doc right now.
And it's a Velvet Underground Christmas show. I'm waiting for my present. Right. $26 in my hand. Like, because it'll be like one of those like Secret Santa things you can only spend $26 on.
Up to Lexington.
Yeah. Went to Lexington to a toy store. No, that sucked. look, okay, it all can't be winners off the top of my head. So anyway, what's your second beef?
Drivers that screech their wheels, or they're really loud when they're just going on first shift or second shift.
You mean people just making noise with their cars? Yeah. For no reason.
Waking up the neighborhood for no reason.
Oh, I can't stand it. You're right. That's your beef. Does that happen to you out there?
It happens frequently, especially in the suburbs, which is crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, that's annoying. It's always amazing that, like, with car culture, there's this whole thing where it's just like, I spent so much money on my car. It looks amazing. Everything is taken care of with this car. It is head to toe. I'm in charge of all of it. I'm making sure it's the way I want it to. And also a part of that goes with that is that my car is also going to sound terrible, and like, it's going to sound like it's broken. It's like, well, boy, somebody really needs to work on their car. Like when you hear some car, like, bah, 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 right. And you're like, boy, that car is in dire need of some repair. And then you see it and you're like, oh no, that's by choice. They want their car to sound awful. I don't get the appeal of any of that. What's that now?
Or if they have that high-pitched whistle?
You mean the whistle tips?
Yeah.
Well, nobody's got that. That happened in about 8 places. You really have people driving around with whistle tips out there?
No, but maybe they have it close by Cracker Barrels.
You got Bub Rub and Lil Sis going through your neighborhood? The whistle goes, woo-woo! Oxford. Remember when they were like, the whistle goes, woo-woo! And they loved... They loved how annoying that whistle was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. We're in agreement, my friend.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you. I can't think of any other ones, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Have a good night, Tom.
You have a great night. Mike, Mike.
What about Christmas morning?
Pretty good. I like it. We can do this. So what else is, we'll figure out this Yule log thing and see if it's viable. Any other calls, Pant?
Yes. I'm going to line 3.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Beshow. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jimby.
Jimby?
Yeah, J-I-M-B-Y.
Jimby, how are you tonight, Jimby? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Chicago. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
Good. Another call from Chicago, back to back.
Oh, nice.
What's going on in Chicago tonight?
Yeah, you know, we're excited for these Chicago Bulls. We're just, that's basically what we got going on right now.
Well, what are you excited about?
Just having new players, I guess.
So you're excited about Lonzo Ball?
Yeah.
And what's his face? DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, you know.
And Zach LaVine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some clown online going off where it's like, Zach LaVine is better. And he started listing all the players that Zach LaVine is better than. He's like, Zach LaVine is better than Devin Booker. He just is. And if you have a problem with that, at your favorite players and tell them they should play better. And I was like,
usually the go-to, right?
Yeah. Just maybe they don't realize they're not playing as great as they could. They need you. Some fan that sits there in your underwear watching the game at home while eating snacks to tell them how to do better. Like as if some player is going to be like, hey, do you think you can come by and maybe give me some pointers sometime?
You know, I think that's just what Porzingis or like a player that's struggling needs is just like a connection with a fan, you know?
Yeah, no, a fan can see what's lacking in their game. You got to be more aggressive. Oh, I do? Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Person who would need to go to the hospital after running up and down the court 3 times. Tell me more about what I can do to be better at basketball.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That was kind of what I wanted to talk about was, in general, the idea of hamminess on Twitter. But I think it's best encapsulated, I guess, in the sports realm and over-the-top takes, obviously. But Bill Simmons especially, if we could fit a little bit of Bill Simmons shading in here, because
So is this your beef? Is this your beef now?
Yeah, I think the beef is with Bill. I think we can circle in. I think he covers a lot of the ground in terms of hamminess and over-the-top sports takes.
Well, he creates a whole thing where everything is we're in hot take culture right now. And it's Bill Simmons and it's Skip Bayless and all these other clods where they have to have an opinion on everything.
Yeah.
Where like, and they act like it's the most important opinion they've ever had. It's like, look, some of these things, I don't have opinions on most things. You know what I mean? If somebody's just like, oh, what do you think of Chicago Party Ant? I don't know. I don't watch it yet. No opinion on it. How do you feel about Teen Wolf? The one on MTV? Yeah, no opinion. Didn't see it. Didn't care for the movies, but I don't care either to have an opinion about them as well.
It's so, like, you have to, whatever the day is today, it happens to be Andrew Wiggins, and everybody has to have the loudest, most conversely obtuse take, because, you know, Kendrick Perkins, you know, kind of fits that mold of, like, I'm going to say something you don't like, and guess what? It's weird. It's like, that's not...
What was Kendrick Perkins? Kendrick Perkins is a former NBA player who now is a commentator and seems to be working double time to be a hot take dispensary so that he can be famous as an announcer.
Yeah, and yeah, there's like merit there, and I think they're doing that, leaning into the Tony Romo-ism of having a former player kind of break down the game for fans, which, I mean, that's not a new idea, but I think the new crisp layer is either you have to be kind of a super genius and predict things, or you just have to be a clown, or just like a super loud, like, you want to be combative. I just feel like it's like the gloves are on. Like, you guys aren't going to like what I have to say about Kelly Oubre. It's like, oh, I wasn't even thinking about Kelly Oubre. Like, why are we coming for Kelly Oubre?
Yeah, no, it's such a bizarre thing to watch certain people be like. You watch somebody like Skip Spence. What am I talking about? You know, you see Skip Spence recording the Or album. Skip Bayless. And so most people see that and they're like, oh my God, that's the most repulsive human going. Please let me know if I ever sound like that person. And other people are just like, that guy makes a lot of money. I'm into it. I want to be like him. And then
there's an icon element to it that it's like, I've been this way. I'm not going to change. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're like, you see that, well, you know that Skip Bayless is bad and is like a planet ruiner. He's ruining the planet. And then they're like, makes a lot of money. And then you're like, like, well, he's terrible. Makes a lot of money being terrible. Like there's no value in not being terrible.
Absolutely. And yet there's like growth in that. And I feel like that's kind of the lane that probably Bill Simmons like immediately found light in, you know, in terms of like, you know, basketball beat writing, that I'm sure you can speak to in terms of like when you're starting out, you want to obviously get something that catches the eye, but like over and over, and now Twitter has saturated the market in that all the comments are just hyper-focused to the moment and hyper-combative. Like, I'm sure you see the comments that are just like, LeBron James actually has 14 championships, 2007. He, like, and then it's just all a list of excuses that basically happened through the years. It's not actually a conversation. It's just like, I'm ready to fight immediately.
Yeah. Like, yeah, everything is a fight nonstop, all day, every day. And it's just like, there's no way you could have this, you could feel this strongly about half the things you said. So, and Bill Simmons is an architect of that also. It's okay to not have an opinion. Look, I have plenty of opinions on plenty of things. People think I'm obnoxious. They think I'm obnoxious. But you know what? I ain't got opinions on everything. I'll be the first one to say if I ain't got no opinion on something.
It's important to. It's important to just stop and think. Like you said, with Teen Wolf, you know, 5 years down the line, you know, you might be watching. It might be actually great.
Yeah, maybe I'll have an opinion then. Right now, I don't care. If you love it, go love it. If you hate it, I don't know. Go find something you love. Oh, that's a good call. You're a good caller. That's a good call. I tip my hat to you. What's that now? You have a great night.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Good guy, good guy. What, how many calls we got? Any other calls?
We got two and one trying to call in now.
All right, let's do it to it, please. Hello, best show.
Hey there, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Dylan in Memphis.
Dylan in Memphis. What's going on, Dylan?
Not much. Hanging out at Gonerfest, watching sweeping passes.
That's so cool. Are you having fun?
Yes, sir. Having a great time.
I wish I was there. Gonerfest rules.
I know. We wish you were here too, man.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. I'll be there again. No, just not this year.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Not much. Just hanging out. Hadn't called before, so figured if no other time, why not now?
It makes sense. Where are you at? You're at the indoor-outdoor thing? Or is it, no, you're probably at the big show now.
Yeah, it's all outdoor this year. They've kind of been getting beat up trying to get the thing together. Just more and more restriction and curfews. Sure. But all outdoor, masks and vax required. Got the show going best they can.
Great. Well, I love them, and I'm glad they're doing it. And I hope you have a great time. So tell me, what's your beef? What's your beef?
My beef, it's a kind of a frivolous complaint, seeing as I'm at Gonerfest, but it's being held at like a weird family party bar this year, sort of, because it's all outdoors. Like, there's a volleyball court about 20 feet from the stage. And it's just kind of weird. It's really nice to be back, but it's just also a reminder that things are still weird.
So your beef is that things are still weird.
Yeah, yeah. Things are still weird. A lot of people doing their best, but things are still weird.
I hear you loud and clear. It gets to me also when you go somewhere and then it's just like, we're closer to, or at least we're not at home. These things are happening again, but they're not the way they were.
Yeah.
I get you. But you have some, you get, like you said, you put a caveat on your own beef.
Yeah.
But I get it. You're not wrong.
Weird to complain about something a lot of people be jealous about, but that's being a person.
Yeah, it is being a person. We certainly find ways to complain, huh?
Yeah. that one.
Well, my friend, I hope you have a great time at Goner.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get you back here soon. Everything will be back to normal. Y'all be safe up there.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. You take care. Talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good guy. Good guy. Next call, please. Hello, best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mike in Minneapolis.
Mike in Minneapolis. What's going on in Minneapolis tonight, Mike?
Well, I was just kind of being a dork and working on a spreadsheet of shows I've seen.
Of concerts?
Yeah.
Shows? Oh, tell me more.
Well, over the years, I've been trying to keep this spreadsheet of shows I've seen. And the difficulty is, you know, going back into the 90s, all the, like, punk and hardcore shows I saw, I'm, like, trying to find flyers or some sort of ephemera, you know, to point me to what I actually saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find a very early one today that I had not previously had on my list.
What was that?
It was Tar Babies, Libido Boys, and Gage on May 17th of 1991 in Beloit, Wisconsin.
Wow.
I know. Wow.
Well, yeah, that's definitely from the early 90s.
Yeah.
Tell me one that you're most proud of when you look at the list. A concert you wish you could show everybody. What you saw?
Well, you know, that's hard. I mean, I'm not particularly proud of it, but I mean, you know, I did see Green Day a few times. You know,
that's fine. When
they were just playing, you know, small places.
Mm-hmm.
I got grounded to see Alice Donut once.
You got grounded for sneaking out and seeing Alice Donut?
Yes. Yep. Because I had not gotten good enough grades. So I was grounded already. And then I so badly had to see Alice Donut that I snuck out and got grounded even longer.
Was it worth it?
Kinda,
right?
Yeah, for the story, I guess. I mean, it was a good show.
Yeah.
But, you know, having, like, people come up to me throughout the show being like, Mike, your mom's outside.
Yeah. You're trying not to, you're just like, Mom, I want to see Alice Donut. They're all alternative tentacles.
They haven't played War Pigs yet.
I like all the stuff on Alternative Tentacles. Mom, I want to see Lard.
Tumor Circus is next month.
So this list, what made you start writing a list like this?
I mean, I think years ago, once I realized that I was getting older and I had, you know, sort of abused my brain over the years, and there were these shows that I didn't necessarily have ticket stubs for, I wanted some sort of list for posterity, I guess, for whatever reason.
Sure, just some sort of record of how it went down. And what it looked like.
Yeah.
Well, tell me this. What's your beef?
Mm-hmm.
What's your beef?
Well, it kind of relates to what I was already talking about, and it's kind of low stakes, but in my middle age, where I have been attending shows again in the past month or so, like going to shows where they require vaccination and all that, I dislike it when venues don't tweet out what set times are going to be.
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, like I say, is very low stakes, but you know, I just want to show up, see the band I want to see, and then go home and go to bed.
All right, I get it. I get it. What's your cutoff now? What do you feel like your cutoff is?
as far as time?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I can be out, you know, I'll be out till two if, you know, if it's really going to be worth it. You know, I went and saw Thurston Moore the other night. Yeah, I got home at 12:30 and I was fine, you know, because, you know, it was worth it. But I don't want to have to, like, I don't want to show up at 8 and then find out there's, like, three other bands that I didn't know were playing, and the band I want to see doesn't start till like 1 a.m. or something. That kind of, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. That's always that frustrating thing when you're just like, oh, I could have stayed at home 3 hours longer.
Right.
Like that moment when you're like, wow, I came so much earlier than I had to.
Yeah. And that's something I never seemed to quite learn my lesson on, because I think I was so, always so worried about missing the band that I wanted to see. And there has been so many times where I've just shown up and sat through so many other bands.
Yeah, I get it. I've been there. But look at you now. You got these shows to go back to. You're getting excited again, aren't you?
I know. Like, I saw Man as a Bastard, you know?
Exactly. And you're just like, don't you know who I am? Well, look, I think this is good.
I was going to say, you know, going, like, finding, like, sites occasionally that do have these old flyers and, like, seeing, like, how, because I had not heard of, say, New Jersey's own Rorschach when they played in the summer of 1991. Yeah. And then I became a huge fan later, but I missed seeing them. So that's, you know, the whole FOMO thing or whatever.
That is, yeah, we're getting back to it though. No mo FOMO. How's that sound? In the root and the new version of things, no mo FOMO. That's what I said.
Did you Rorschach?
I did not. Not my scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Thanks for the call, buddy.
I did see King Crimson recently though.
I did see King Crimson. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
I drove all the way to Chicago from Minneapolis to go see it.
And you had a good time?
Absolutely. It was my, what, 6th time seeing them, and just as great as every other time.
Did they do right?
They absolutely did.
Right.
Right.
Man, I miss it. I wish I could see them once a week.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, completely.
Well, thank you for the call, my friend.
Thank you, Tom.
Have a grand evening.
You as well.
Okay, bye. Nice guy. All right. How long has the show been?
1 hour, 21 minutes.
121. How are we doing with the calls?
I hit block when you asked me how many calls were last. So we did the last 3. So okay. Now we have one more.
Well, let's do this. Let's take this one more call. Then I want to take a trip out to Rooster Creek. And then we'll see where we're at. I think our old friend Jason Hollywoodio Gore has a going to take us back to his hometown of Rooster Creek. Does that sound like a plan?
We can do it.
All right. I'll take the call first. Hello, Best Show.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Mike in Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Mike. What's going on in Vancouver tonight?
Not a lot. I had one for the topic. Well, I guess I had two, and I was curious which one they're related, and I was wondering which one you thought was worse.
Well, first of all, let me just ask you this.
Sure.
Greatest Vancouver resident of all of present day and or of all time.
The Washington one or the DC one?
Wait, where are you again?
Vancouver, Washington State.
Vancouver, Washington. Oh, this is a whole other, it's a whole other wrinkle. Well, let's go with the one you're from.
You know, honestly, I'm a transplant. I don't really know.
All right. Fair enough. I get it. How long have you been there?
5 years, 6 years, something like that, I think.
You've had time to find one good person there.
We get kind of dwarfed to Portland, which is 10 minutes south, like South Jersey is to Philly.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I think you could still drum up. You could drum up one quality human. But if you can't, you can't. Don't sweat it.
You can't.
Okay. Well, tell me this, my friend. What's your beef?
So, just recently, my wife and I had to take a flight, and we were trying to grab a snack because we're running a little behind in the store. And so, beef number one, at the airport concession stand, or not, you know, like the Hudson News, they were selling these snack packs that came with a can of tuna fish inside of them, like a little pull top one.
And like a teeny tiny can, right? Teeny tiny.
Right. And I was pretty disgusted with the idea that they would sell that with the intention that someone might eat that on the plane for everybody else's sanity.
Yeah, don't bring your tuna on the plane.
Right. So that's my first beef, is why would you sell that in the airport to begin with? But then my second beef was somebody actually did buy it and ate it on our plane within a row of us. And for 4 hours, I feel like the whole thing smelled like tuna fish.
Yeah. Suddenly you're at the Chicken of the Sea factory.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't ask for that. You're trying to fly in a plane, not take a guided tour of the Chicken of the Sea factory.
Exactly.
I get you with that.
I don't know who's worse, though, the person selling it or the person buying it?
I'd say the person selling it. Because you go to the airport, you're trying to just get by. If they're selling the stuff, you got to eat something.
That's true.
So, but they're the one selling it. They're not going on the plane, ironically. They're selling the thing. It's not their problem. Because you also can't go back and complain like, hey, why do you guys sell that stuff? Because you left. You're not there anymore. You can't complain about that.
They're a captive audience to their bad decisions.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I like it. I like the cut of your jib.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. Well, you have a grand evening.
Thanks. You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Let's now we have our friend Jason Dudio Gore, formerly known as Dudio, now known as Woodio. And what we're doing here is he's been putting together some stories that are take us back to a simpler time and a simpler place where he grew up, a town known as Rooster Creek. Now, Jason, would you mind taking us back?
I would love to. Tom and Pat, I just, you guys know I've been moving, so I've been unpacking. So instead of writing down one of my memories, I thought I would check in with my Uncle Jerry, who's the owner of the company store. And I sent him a letter. They don't have email in Rooster's Creek, so I sent him a letter, and quite a few weeks later, I got a letter back So I'd like to read that letter just to let you know what the current state of Rooster's Creek is.
And what state is Rooster's Creek in?
Southwest Virginia.
Okay.
So
cool.
And I'm going to do
it. Really, you're painting a picture here for
yeah.
us.
And everybody, I mean, you want to know where I'm from. This is where I grew up. It's where my heart is. I'm going to read this in my uncle's accent because I think it comes across a little better.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
My dearest Jason, what a busy week in Rooster's Creek. Well, the great mine fire of 1897 shows no signs of slowing down. Just keeps on burning harder, looser, louder, and meaner. But we manage. Yeah, new school year's upon us. And just like every year, Rooster's Creek's four remaining town children lined up in front of the company store, eager to buy a new number two pencil, maybe get a new reading book. Well, I didn't have any of those. I haven't since 1986. So I sat on my stool and watched the joy slip from the children's eyes as they settled on a bag of soot and a few used fishing rods. I mean, the schoolhouse is the creek, so that does make the most sense anyway. Hey, the once every 2 months mailman just told me someone famous died. It wasn't Toby Keith, was it? If so, we're going to have to rename the hospital, the credit union, and City Hall. Please do let me know. Anyway, hope the roosters are crowing and the creek's gurgling where you are. Love, your Uncle Jerry.
Wow, that was powerful. Your Uncle Jerry sounds like a great man.
He's a good man. He's a good man. Yeah. It's nice to, you know, have someone still, you know, at that level in my family that I can look up to. And
And it is a simpler world where the schoolhouse is in the creek. Is that what he said?
The schoolhouse is the creek.
Is the creek. Is that yes. in it?
And there's not even, yeah, there's no walls. There's no ceiling.
It's just a creek that they call that the schoolhouse.
Yep.
Like, wow.
That's where I learned.
That's where you learned. And yeah. and ironically, we're all learning.
Now. Yeah. I mean, look at me.
Yes. The fine product of Rooster's Creek.
Yep.
Well, that was very moving.
Thank you. I'm glad I could share that with you. And
I'm glad we got to hear it.
I'll have some more Rooster's action for you guys soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it. Pat.
Sir.
Anything going on?
Not too much.
No more calls?
No more calls. Yeah. All right. If anyone out there can verify the Best Show accounts, get in touch.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good goal.
Yes.
I'm behind that.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. You're a
best-selling author. You talk about the show in your book. We can't get verified.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's crazy is when you see these people that like these writers for these websites who they have 800 followers. And I'm not putting them down for their follower count, but I also don't know how they got verified.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I saw someone with like 15 followers.
I'm fine with them being verified. Just verify us as well.
Right.
Yeah. The show needs to be verified. It's my mission. I don't know who to contact. I don't know how to do it.
Well, hey, don't think that I haven't tried because there is a new verification process. I've tried the Best Show account on Twitter through that, and they shoot us down every single time.
Well, it might be time. Might be time for the 800-pound gorilla to enter the mix on this. I'm going to start bringing this stuff up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it. We ain't going to take this laying down. Just like the great man, D. Snyder, said, we're not going to take it. No, we ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore.
Did you ever see that VH1 made-for-TV movie where he played the 80s version of himself, and it was about the lawsuit against the Tipper Gore stuff?
I don't think I did.
Yeah. It wasn't very good.
Oh, well, that's a huge shocker. Yeah. That a movie where D. Snyder played an earlier version of himself on VH1 would not be very good. Well, yeah. That really just, then I don't even know what to believe anymore, Pat.
It was entertaining. The guy who played John Denver was pretty good.
Okay. Well, now you're making me want to check this out.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, I think we're going to wrap this one up. We wanted to do a show this week. We wanted to put something on the books. We ain't missing shows. We're here for you. You're here for us. Thank you for the support. And we'll be back next week with another best show. And thank you to Pat and to Jason for making this happen on short notice. And I appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.